Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. If you're listening to it in podcast form, which will be later, we're coming to you live from the, Flipping Made Easy studio in Mattawan, New Jersey. Wow, you saw that, like, the brain fart just... Like, I don't know what happened there. But anyway, Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawan, New Jersey. Your host, Sturch and Gooch. We hope you guys are doing well out there here on a Thirsty Thursday. Lots of stuff, obviously, happening last night within the NBA. We have some baseball awards to touch on. We get week 11 of the football season already, which is... Is it depressing to you? Like, do you feel like it's going too fast? Or
when I think about football season being over, it's depressing. But yeah. I love this part of the season, so no, I love when it gets cold. I think this is when we find out who's who, and I know who we are, so I'm excited about it.
We are who we thought we were.
The cold weather games. I'm all for it.
All right, I'm with it. Lots to cover. Obviously, we have a Thursday night football game. The Atlanta Falcons trying to rebound after their thrashing from my beloved Dallas Cowboys, 43-3. Do you know that McCarthy smirked when it went to 28-3? They saw him like on camera, like smirking. And I'm just like, why are they? Oh, yeah. 28-3. I get it.
Falcons Twitter had a fun time.
They did.
It was only 28-3 for like 20 seconds. The Cowboys scored immediately.
Oh, that was at the block punt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quick. Very quick. But yeah, so we got Thursday Night Football as the red hot Mac Daddy, Mac Jones, takes on the Atlanta Falcons later on. But yeah, so today I actually got the text I was waiting for from my buddy Kevin, who, you know, longtime best friend of mine. I have officially been invited to the Delta Variant Bowl, which will go down next week on Thanksgiving morning at 9 o'clock. So a 7-on-7. Your boy's getting back on the gridiron. I'm excited. I'm nervous.
So you're gonna be out Black Friday.
Yeah, I was actually gonna talk to you about Black Friday. I don't know if we were gonna go on or do our thing. I don't know.
Maybe we'll do something. Maybe I'll take some equipment home. You take some equipment home.
I already have. I'm set up at home. So, yeah.
We just do the thing.
Maybe do a little remote ski. But, yeah. So, anyway, I'm excited about that because I know I won't be able to walk to dinner. Going to my dad's. You do anything special for Thanksgiving? You just do your own.
Whatever my family tells me I'm doing, that's what I'm doing.
Just kind of rolling with the punches here. But, yeah. So, I can't believe it's Thanksgiving already because, again, the year just flew, right? Yeah. And we're rocking and rolling with Chop Sports, and everybody is just, we're excited that the holidays are here. But for the first time, look, Chop Sports has gotten involved with, you know, breast cancer awareness to an extent. We tried our best to do with the Susan G. Coleman thing, and we always just try to give back. And I think this is a good time to announce that we are going to start giving back just a little during the holidays. And what I'm talking about is this. It is the 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. Now, when you guys think about, you know, traditional Red Cross, like the things that
Toys
you do. Toys for Tots. You think of like these mainstream things. Well, I have a friend who I've known for a long, long time. Once upon a time, your boy was in education. All right. I used to mold young minds. And when I say mold young minds, I mean like basically just hand out papers and just hang out with the students because they were like more on my level. You know, the teachers would actually like look at me like, oh, dude, it's another kid. There's like another kid in the classroom when I was in there. But I met Miss Sally. Mrs. Sally is a friend of mine, Lindsay Sally. Good person. She had always has her hand in so many different things. Like she currently has like her hand in like 402 projects right now. But the big one coming up is the 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. What this is it's Reddington Township based. So it's a very small, tight knit group in Hunterdon County. They work hand in hand with the school system. So again, this isn't your massive thing. This is their close knit.
It's a little more
group.
Intimate where yes. you kind of I don't know if it's one of these situations where you like pick a family, they have some.
That's exactly
like
what list. This is.
I
That's,
like that a little bit better because yeah. you know it's going directly to I'm not saying that it should matter.
You don't
where
know
it's
where
going,
your stuff is going.
But at the same time, yeah.
Right. With these, so with like these bigger, toys for tots, who knows? These guys could be taking them and playing with their toys, you know, by themselves. But
yeah,
you know
a lot of these nonprofits make a lot of money.
Right. I know for a fact Lindsay doesn't make a dime. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like she's just doing this out of the kindness of her heart. She's a great person. I've known her for a long time. And again, like I said, it's a small project, but it's a big meaning. And it's the holidays, time to give back. There is obviously a link on the Chop Sports Facebook group right now. We'll share it again after the show, but this is at least give you the idea of what's going on and what Chop Sports wants to do in association with this. And again, this isn't like, you know, again, it's just, it's hard to explain because I'm not the face of this thing. But from what I've gathered, from when I talked to Lindsay, you know, the last couple of days about it, it's something she's very passionate about. And I think all of Chop Sports that are watching the show right now or listening to the sound of my voice, look for the link, help out. It goes to a good cause. And I think that, you know, it's great. It's holiday season, man. Like, this is the season of giving. I love giving gifts more than I love receiving them. Of course, I mean, you want to give me a gift, I'm all for it. Thank you so much. But like, overall, I'm more for the joy that you could possibly potentially give out to somebody else than yourself. And that's just
agreed.
Me. And I know that's big on Lindsay as well. So thank you for at least giving us Chop Sports the opportunity to kind of work hand in hand with you and promote the bigger picture here. So now on to sports, ladies and gentlemen. Now on to the task at hand when it comes to Thursday night football. Now we said before, the Falcons coming off a very, very bad loss. I mean, the way I look at it is that, like, is there any rebounding after this, you know? And now you're facing a team. Look at the respect Vegas is giving the New England Patriots coming into this game, dude. -6 on the road with
six
a rookie quarterback.
6.5
on the road with a rookie quarterback. Which is, again, Mac Jones, we've already talked about it. We've talked about the fact that he's right there with Jamar Chase.
He actually passed Jamar Chase yesterday in odds.
Crazy.
He's the odds-on favorite as of this moment to win Rookie of the Year. It's probably because everybody listened to the podcast when we talked about it, and they were like, oh, shit, get it now, because right. All the money went on Mac Jones yesterday, and
right.
He actually moved the line a little bit.
Right, right. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, this game, when you look at a game like this, the way the two teams stack up, my buddy Greg, who actually I forgot to tell you yesterday, he texted me. Tell Chris I just picked up or I put in a bid for Cam Newton. So, like, he was the one that was going to screw up the whole thing.
But then he didn't realize that your father, well, he didn't listen, but that was also funny.
Beat him to dust. Mr. Sturge.
But he said he's going to roll with Garoppolo, though.
He is. He actually put away. I asked him, I was like, oh, Dad, you watched the show live? And he goes, no, why? I was like, what? That's just weird. Because, like, simultaneously as you texted me, like, forget about Cam, you were saying, Mr. Sturge, drop Cam.
Don't worry about Cam.
Yeah, don't go
good,
that route.
Good play there.
Yeah, don't do that. But Greg hit me up and he said that he wanted to know if he should start Rock Stevenson. Rock Stevenson, that's his nickname?
Yeah.
Ram Stevenson?
Ram.
Rock,
I don't know whatever. If that's actually his nickname, but
for us,
we named him that.
He asked me if he should start him tonight, considering, you know, the matchup and what Zeke and Pollard were able to do. Not, they weren't like, their numbers weren't like gaudy, but like they took control. They did their thing. My response, and maybe you can help him out because he listens to the show every day, is that I think Stevenson's good for a touchdown, but like with Harris healthy and playing, you're not going to get the volume, Stevenson.
He's not even good for a touchdown. There's no guarantee there.
I feel like he's the goal line guy to me.
Damian Harris didn't play last week.
Yeah, so I guess that.
So Damian
by default, Stevenson was the goal line guy.
Was the goal line guy. But at the same time, he took an opportunity and he ran with it. He had a great game. So there is something to be said for that, where Belichick might give him the carries now down low. But no, I'm not. I need to know what other options there are before I could give you advice on starting Ram Stevenson this week, because it's just not a starting guy.
I'll tell you what his options are. I think he's kind of waiting on the Clyde Edwards-Helaire news, because as of right now, he's still on the IR, but all they got to do is activate him and he's in.
Then if you have,
but he also owns Damian Williams. Not Damian Williams. Darrell Williams? His backup. The Chiefs' backup.
Then Darrell Williams.
But I'm saying, as of right, at one point, he had both of them starting, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, like, I need you to win this week.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't play, it's Darrell Williams, no doubt about it. If he does play, then there might be a split, and that's when I would maybe lean towards Stevenson, because
but now you don't have the time. Like, you have to make that call tonight.
Yeah. So
it's a big deal.
So I would wait.
I hate Thursday games.
I would wait.
I love Thursday games because it's a Thursday and we get football. But like, think about it. Like, all the fantasy implications, like, you have to make a decision as of right now. We have a question coming in from our resident Bears fan, Jay Silverberg here. Quick fantasy question. What's a better start? Pitts tonight against the Pats, who usually shut down the tight ends, or Knox in a better matchup against the Colts? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen. He didn't say that, but I'm going to say that anyway.
Honestly, I think Dawson Knox is due. He was out for a little bit. He hasn't really gotten his footing since he's been back. And the Colts do struggle a little bit against tight ends. I have a hard time sitting Pitts because of obviously where you drafted him, but he's up and down. He had a couple moments in this season, but honestly, I probably go with Pitts because it's Thursday and I'm just looking for a little bit of action, and I do think it's a toss-up. But personally, I do think Dawson Knox is a higher percentage to
Dawson Knox was him. Very, very quiet last week in that blowout against the Jets, and you would figure like you feel like everybody got involved with that scoring parade, and he did not. So, like, I don't know if it's like you're 1 week removed from your hand thing, and like we'll find out. He'll get better as we go. But Kyle Pitts, had Matt Ryan not become shooketh last week, Kyle Pitts was on his way to doing really good things against the Cowboys secondary. And I'm like, it was disgusting. At one point, I was like, is anybody going to cover this guy?
Talent-wise, it's not even a question.
No, it's not
Pitts
close.
Is the man, but I just think they're going to get the shit beat out of him in this game.
Did you by any chance, he brings up the Colts. Did you buy it? You probably didn't because you barely watched the Cowboys one. The Colts in-season Hard Knocks thing started last night.
I did see a little bit on Twitter, but I didn't actually watch the whole thing. I saw the part where they were talking shit about the cartoons with Hines and Jonathan Taylor. They're like, yo, they make you look like you're 6'3", 250.
Right.
And Jonathan Taylor is a big dude. But
he's a beast.
He ain't that big.
You know who's nuts is Maniac, Leonard. Like,
oh, yeah.
Bro, look, dude. Jesus
and I'm
Christ,
actually I'm actually thinking savage. About the previous question about the fantasy thing still.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Honestly, I'm starting Dawson Knox because Bill Belichick is looking at the Atlanta Falcons offense and he's like, okay, who do I got to take out? Patterson's hurt, right? So I don't know if he's ruled out yet, but I'm sure he is. I think he might be out for an extended period. I think he's out for 3 weeks.
Fun.
I think that Belichick is going to just look at that offense. He's going to say, okay, Pitts isn't beating us today, and he's going to take out Pitts and then have them make it work elsewhere. So I will go with Knox. That's my final decision.
All right. Final thoughts there. But you didn't catch any of the Colts thing. You just caught a
No, couple. I just saw
it.
Yeah.
I did watch it. I actually forgot about it. And Shark Tank ended at 10. And I was just like, I'm not watching Jay Leno and Bob Saget run around in cars. So let me just go check and see what's going on HBO. And I'm like, oh shit. Hard Knocks, brand new. You know, so I did watch it. The love affair between Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, I'm a little disturbed. Not even disturbed. It was like he got real excited when he became available. Like he drafted him, obviously, with Philadelphia. Well, he didn't draft him. Peterson drafted him, but he was the offensive coordinator. Loved Carson Wentz coming out of college. And then, obviously, Frank Reich goes for greener pastures and becomes the head coach of the Colts. And then you see that, like, Wentz is available for trade after the whole Jalen Hurts thing. And he was like so super excited. And I like talked a lot of Bible stuff. And I guess both of them are very hard Christians. And I guess for me, I'm not going to knock your faith. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying when you look at a football player, it's like the last thing besides the fact that everybody thanks God after everything. But like for them to be that religious and that much of a savage on the field, it's
Tim
like
Tebow.
Yes.
I saw a meme yesterday about Tebow. Did Tebow just get married recently?
He could finally lose his virginity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's good what it was him. The whole play on that. It was, I mean, I know that there might be teachers watching, so I'll skip this joke.
No, they might be not watching anymore. They probably wanted to tune in for the announcement with
Speaking
their project.
Speaking of things that are disgusting.
Oh, God.
Tom Brady's new miniseries that he's got out. Did you see any of that?
Oh, no. I want to watch.
There was something yesterday. I think it aired yesterday or It was yesterday, Tuesday? It aired on Tuesday, the first episode. I couldn't bring myself to watch it, even though I
what
know.
What is it on? What's it streaming on? ESPN Plus?
ESPN. I think it's on ESPN. Okay. But it's basically about Tom Brady's rise. It's like, dude, do we really want to go through that again? We all know
the story.
You know
what? I'm a sucker for all, like, things, documentary,
sports. The good
thing
that I've been seeing about this documentary is that they got a real in-depth with Drew Bledsoe interview. And they kind of talked to him about how he handled the whole departure. Dude, Drew Bledsoe signed a 6-year, $100 million deal the offseason before he lost his job to Tom Brady. So that makes it even more crazy. Like, when Bledsoe got hurt, he became...
Oh, you mean when he signed with the Saints?
No. Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, Drew Bledsoe. I think you said Drew Brees before.
No, I don't think I did. But Drew Bledsoe signed a 6-year, $100 million deal with the Patriots, then gets hurt week 4, I believe. And when he's healthy, he lost his job, essentially. After they won the Super Bowl, Drew Bledsoe said that he went skiing by himself, and he was like, bro, he's like, the next morning after the Super Bowl, he's like, I'm not in Disney World. He was like, I'm sitting on a ski lift by myself crying my eyes out. So it hit him hard, and he's like, I was always gracious about it. That made me, I was like, oh.
Bro.
Because I remember seeing Tom Brady hitting his shoulder pads like, we won, and Bledsoe was like, I fucking hate you. But he didn't hate him. It was just, bro, like, it was hard.
I know I said bro like the last four times. Like, this happened to Bledsoe twice. Twice.
Yeah.
He got benched for Romo.
By the same, I guess, lineage of coaches. That's the word, word of the week.
It was
Parcells.
Parcells, yeah. Right? And I remember that game. Oh, my God. It was Fox and Hound. R.I.P. Fox and Hound. It doesn't exist anymore. I remember watching that game against the Giants and Bledsoe, like the halftime report, like Susie Colbert, whoever the sideline reporter was like, it'll be Tony Romo in the second half. I'm like, why? Like, wait, what? Well, hold on. You know, like, and that happened, and I watched it, and his first throw, interception. It was a tip ball. And I was like, oh, great. He's just going to be another scrub. The guy was going to suck forever. And then, you know, Romo became the legend that he is. By the way, a lot of the lineage stuff the other day, when Jimmy was here, the big reaction was his Romo. Yeah. Like that sound clip should be used forever.
Where do we rank Drew Bledsoe? I guess we could say all time. Where do we rank Drew Bledsoe?
Top five.
It's hard. I'd have to look and do a deep dive.
I mean, I don't know his numbers.
Drew Bledsoe is an overlooked guy. He was a really good, good player.
And he was like a dog too. Like he was like loud in your face. Like a lot of people didn't know that about Aikman. Like Aikman was a fiery dude. Bledsoe was the same way.
I feel like Bledsoe is like Peyton Manning a little bit before Peyton Manning. I don't know.
Just with a lot less talent.
A lot less talented.
That's what I'm saying. But a lot less talented.
Drew Bledsoe was the man coming out of college. I remember it. He was the Washington, I want to say. Or Washington State. Somewhere up northwest.
Kyle Kerm's coming in, chiming in, and I know River. That's supposed to be Rivers, but I rank Bledsoe same place as Philip Rivers.
That's definitely a fair assessment.
Their numbers got to be astronomically different.
I don't care about the numbers because Bledsoe played in the final era where it like actually was hard to
accumulate people had running
passing
games?
Numbers. Yeah, where they literally handed the ball off a lot still. And Bledsoe did put up, he was a league leader in passing, or at least near the top every year. It just, he had a hard run at things with the Tom Brady situation and the Tony Romo situation.
He's also a Super Bowl loser. He lost to your Packers.
Oh, of course. I know, you know that. Like that's, I'm not discounting that fact, but he made it to the Super Bowl. You get what I'm saying? So he was a really good player. And I think it sucks for him that's how he gets remembered, is the guy that drew Tom Brady fucking ousted.
How many more guys are like that? Like, I was like Wally Pipp situation.
Well, Don Majkowski with the Packers is the one that jumps out to me. Obviously,
because obviously then Brett
he
Favre
like turned
comes
his
in.
Ankle with like a minor ankle sprain and never
like,
got
no,
his
no, no,
job
no far
back.
Far far. Like they put him in. I'm thinking off the top of my head. I'm thinking who's the Rams quarterback for Warner? Trent Green. Trent Green was supposed to be the guy over with the Rams. He goes down. Here comes Warner, fresh out of Stop and Shop, bagging groceries, and all of a sudden he's a Super Bowl champion. Trent Green, never to be seen again as an elite quarterback.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good one.
I'm trying to think.
That's it. I think that's all of them at quarterback. Maybe there's more. Steve Young, Montana.
Was that a Wally Pipp situation?
Yeah, he got blasted by the Giants in the playoffs and then ended up in Kansas City because Steve Young, the following season, did his thing.
It wasn't an injury with Kurt Warner when he was a Giant for Eli to get in there? Or no, that was just a decision,
no, it was
right?
Like they drafted Eli with the first pick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's time to go, bro.
So a lot of love for Mark Brunell, better than Bledsoe, according to Scoop. There's not enough love for Mark Brunell at all. Like
former
he gets,
Packer. Packers drafted Brunell.
Yeah, but I'm saying like he was the first.
We don't talk about the Matt Hasselbecks and the Mark Brunells. And guess who? Kurt Warner was also a Packer first.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
What?
Google it, bro.
Wait, I think I know everything, but what?
Well, no. Well, you think you know everything, but I actually know everything. So, yes, definitely
really?
Google it. Kurt Warner was definitely a
drafted?
Packer. I don't think he was drafted. I think he was a...
And then he went and played with the team with
and
the eye
like
goggles.
The North Dakota,
no.
Sioux Falls, or whatever.
What were they called? Shit. I mean, that's going to... The CFL team with the goggles, the aviators?
I have no fucking clue.
I don't know. Wherever he was right before
the
Rams.
Peters. I know that there's the Calgary team that kind of looks like the Packers, I think, or Edmonton. I have no idea, bro. You're asking me about CFL? I don't even know about... We have the Cy Young Awards to talk about tonight.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about
and
tonight.
I don't know.
And we didn't even make a pick for this game yet. But there's a heated debate going on right now within the Jaguars fan base and organization between Scoop and Kyle right now in the chat. They're talking about... I mean, I'm looking over there real quick. Like, Kyle thinks that Mark Brunell was soft. And then Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith carried Brunell on their back. Like, these are all... Jamie Silverberg, another big one. Mike Glennon getting hurt and Mitch Trubisky going in there and taking the world by storm. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was great. Dilfer, Brad Johnson, to me, are equal to Drew Bledsoe. They're all the same person.
Kevin Cobb, Or is that it?
Cobb.
What am I saying? Nick Folk.
Nick Folk, the kicker?
Why am I...
Nick Foles?
Nick Foles.
Big dick Nick Foles. Put respect on his name.
Also, there's teachers watching.
You're right.
Why did I just have a weed man moment? I couldn't remember a fucking thing.
Teachers watching, I'm smoking.
It's illegal. All teachers smoke weed, by the way.
They have to, right? Yeah. You would think, like, to get through. I saw a meme yesterday. It was kind of, like, deeper, but emotional. Like, somebody said, a good friend of mine said, like, when I leave education... No, when I got into education, it was because of the kids. When I left education, it was because of the adults. Like, the parents have to be awful. My boy Tommy hit me up the other day. He said he was playing. He was what?
It reminds me of something I saw on Instagram yesterday.
Same thing?
It was like an ump getting heckled by moms. Bro. He quit. Mid at bat.
Really?
She was like, you're just mad because my son's taller than you.
Somebody asked you were a teacher. No, I was not a teacher. I was a paraprofessional.
You're mad because my son is taller than you. That's what she said to
me. Oh, my God.
He took his counter and he threw it up in the air. He's like, I'm out of here.
Let me tell you, my experience ranged from like fourth grade to like eighth, right? That was my wheelhouse of like, I kind of hung with one kid for years. His name's Danny. He's a good kid. He's a sophomore or junior in high school right now down in North Carolina. He's my boy. Me and him got together. We were like, inseparable. The kid was a wrestling fan, found out I was a former pro wrestler. We just gelled. It was great. The big thing is, and he was, they put me with, when I first started, they put me with like the troubled kids, like the kids that like needed a 6'1" guy to make sure that he didn't, like they didn't run the school. And here I am running the halls, like facing these kids. It was brutal. But I will say this, as you say, like my son's taller than you, the insults have gotten so much worse. Like as time went on, bro, like I remember, obviously as sixth grader, Dave, you're a fat ass. And I'm just like, I'm going to go home.
My nephews swim in the pool with their friends and each other, cousins, all that.
Yeah.
In the window that I'll sit on the couch and I'll open the window. It's insane the way they talk to each other.
Like they talk to each other.
I was that way as a kid too. I can't deny it. I definitely had, like if I knew I was clear and my mother couldn't hear me, I was cursing. 100%.
Oh, I would only curse. Brutal. Not like I would up until I was 21 years old, I wouldn't curse.
I would
my
sit
father.
In front of the mirror.
I and still I
would,
have a hard
I would,
time.
I would recite every anymore. Single curse word that I knew to the mirror for like minutes at a time.
What are you, Tupac? And just sitting like, shit, bitch. Like just rolling them all off. Yeah, all right.
My mother caught me doing that one time. I got soap in my mouth. Do parents still do that?
Right. They'd be on friggin' Maury Pop. Not Maury. Dr. Phil.
Bro.
If you do anything to your kid right now.
One time she put hot pepper flakes on my tongue because I said something terrible.
Hot pepper flakes.
Yeah.
Whew.
I
mouth's watering just thinking about it.
I told my brother that I wished he was dead. That was it.
Why would you do that?
I was like five.
Man, that's rough, dude. Sorry, Carl. I'm sorry you had such a traumatic experience as the older brother. You know what I would do when I was a younger kid? And Danny will get a kick out of this. There was times that we would be wrestling in the basement and just doing our thing, and I would hurt him. Not intentionally hurt him. I would just hurt him, right? And, like, he would go down and, like, grab his neck. And I thought, like, holy, I just broke my brother's neck. What do I do? I don't know what to do.
I have an idea.
Give myself a shot in the face, drop, and cry with him.
I know what we should probably do.
What?
Pick this game.
Ah, all right. Listen to you. Hey, man, we were worried about filler today, and I was just trying to provide you with some filler here. But, so anyway, everybody keep a clean mouth. No cursing. This is good cursing in the mirror. Early signs of a future felon, says Kyle Kerms. That's actually really funny. We stand Judy. Judy, that has to be...
My mom.
On here? I know who your mom is.
That's Ash definitely giving my mom clout.
Well, good.
Well deserved. Like, Judy is the goat.
It all depends on who you're in front of. Like, as I said, I didn't curse in front of my father until my bonus mom, Barry, came into the picture. I was just like, all right, gloves are off. Here we go. Anyway, let's pick the game, I guess, right? That's what we're doing here on a sports, on a sports show. All right, like, don't shake your MF head like it was Ash. You are the same as everybody else when it says Facebook user.
We can't see
go
it.
Give
I knew it was her,
permission
though. I knew it.
To Facebook or to StreamYard to show
no,
your name.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Everybody that's watching, I said this before in pre, that what we should do is encourage people to go watch on YouTube because then we get their comments, all of them.
All the comments come through on YouTube. So if you want to make sure you're known and who you are, go to YouTube right now. We are live. Guess what?
Honestly,
same stream.
Like I've been looking into how to get the Facebook users all, and StreamYard just doesn't have a definitive answer for me.
Oh,
and it's definitely disappointing, but at the same time, encourage people to go to YouTube.
I'm with it. All right. So anyway, pick this game, Gooch. We got the Falcons coming off the worst loss of their lives, taking on the Patriots. Who do you got? Look, this is the start of our week.
I think I showed my hand a little bit.
I think we both
talking,
showed our hand.
When we were talking earlier.
With the amount of
it's a lot of points to lay on the road, but I just think that the point spread, they're begging. I don't know. I wish I could talk to Kyle before I make my pick right now and see where the public is, but I didn't see where the line opened. Maybe it opened here. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Patriots because I'm just high on the Patriots right now. I'm not going to go against them. I'm not betting it, though.
I'm not betting this game either, but I will pick the Patriots laying the 6.5. I think they're going to go in there and just look, the Falcons. I'm not saying the Falcons are going to lose just as bad as they did last week, but they're not well.
Well, you know what I mean? They're not betting it. I might bet it, but the reality is I didn't actually do a deep dive into this game whatsoever and look at certain matchups that I think, but as of now, I'm not betting it. I just like the Patriots because I don't like the Falcons.
Well, if you're interested in knowing who a guy who has some decent credibility will be picking, go to KyleKerms.com right now. And not right now, probably what, 5 o'clock he releases
I'm not sure, but the either way, water. Go on his YouTube. Go follow him and figure out how
65% of the money, according to the sauce, is on New England right now. So that's not going to change. I mean, I can't imagine like random people coming in out of the woodwork to put money on the Falcons. Like, I just don't see it. They don't have their weapons. They don't have nothing.
But 65%
right now
isn't like a. It's not a lot. Not crazy.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, like, it's not. I don't know. I just feel like that's. I don't know. The game is up on YouTube actually right now. So if you go to the Sauce Network on YouTube, he already picks this game. So head on over
type
there.
Type in Kyle Kerms on YouTube.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, Sauce Network, you might get some other things.
You might get
cooking shit. But yeah, type in Kyle Kerms.
I'm with it. All right, let's take a break because we got some more things to talk about. A little bit of a heavy debate on a little Steph Curry action later on. And of course, the Cy Youngs are starting to be given out. So the awards are here. Turns out the Mets did up again. So we'll see. We'll come back right after this. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com. So welcome back to the show. Thank you, of course, to our sponsors and everything like that. And if you're just joining us and you didn't hear about it, we are partnering up with something pretty cool. We won't get into too much detail, but here it is real quick. The 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. Be sure to check out the links that we've dropped inside of Chop Sports with my good friend, Lindsay Sally. She does amazing things. And so go check that out as well. We'll get into the Cy Young stuff. But first, before we do that, I got, you know, like you can geek out when certain things happen on your social media, whether somebody, what is this? What did you just bring up there? Without Cordarrelle Patterson, I would bet the Pats minus 21. Well, that's you, Mr. Prop Beaver, and that's not the sauce.
I would imagine that that's the same as the sauce at this point. They're
one and the same.
They're in lockstep.
Yeah, I guess. But I will say this. Yesterday, Dina found us on Twitter. This is way better, she said.
YouTube,
that's what I meant. But anyway, so before we get into the Cy Young, you do geek out about certain things, and you know that it gives you kind of instant, not credibility, but it'll give you a little bit of a boost. So yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, Jay Glazer was on. I don't know if you knew about this. He went really deep into his mental health and stuff like that, and I'm a big, big advocate for that. And he went in and talked to McAfee about it, said that he's been best friends with Michael Strahan for 30 years, and just as of like last week, Glazer finally said, like, yo, I'm struggling, man. And Strahan's like, dude, why didn't you tell me? Like, we've been friends for 30 years. You've been doing this for 30, struggling mentally for 30 years. And, so he was on Pat McAfee's show, and both of them agreed, both McAfee and Glazer. The quote was, we're all fucked up, all of us, every single one of us, right? We just have to be okay with our fucked upness. And yeah. I quoted that on my Instagram story today, Chop Sports Sturch, and Jay Glazer shared it. So that's pretty cool.
Tell Jay Glazer to go fuck himself.
Oh my God, dude. You're not a Glazer guy?
I'm not at any of those.
Glazer's
feel like,
cool, though.
I feel like, sometimes when you're coming up, you're cool, but I think eventually you just become just the same as everybody else. A yes man.
I don't know. He's into MMA. Like, he's got so many different avenues.
I don't care about who's into what. That's good. I don't like the way he reports things, personally. I don't personally have an issue with Jay Glazer like I do with Adam Schefter, because I think he's a little cooler, but I just don't like any of them.
Now, let me ask you this, just because I know we're off the beaten path again, but this is what happens when things get brought up. The other day, our boy Rube, former host of Hoops with Rube, he's a friend of the show, he's a friend of Chop Sports, he got real hurt with me about me not liking Adam Schefter. And I felt like they were almost related, and I didn't understand it. What exactly do you personally, because I want to know, because I want to see if I'm just like in lockstep with you, what don't you like about Adam Schefter and what he does?
Well, obviously it all starts with the Aaron Rodgers saga for me. But when you see the way he goes about it, look at the Dalvin Cook situation, how he only reports one side. I think that he has a way of going about his reporting where maybe this is why he has all the sources and some of the guys trust him, because he manipulates the story to fit a narrative. And I think he's just an ESPN yes man. I don't like ESPN at all. I'm not sitting here going to talk about ESPN. They're owned by Disney. They'll fucking crush us like a bug. That said, Adam Schefter, he holds on to stories to drop them at the right time for clicks. Everything is for a click these days. I understand where they're going with it. Don't get me wrong. But it's the same thing. He's like a Stephen A. Smith. They're all the same. They're just yes men at this point.
I got way many more reasons of why I don't like a guy like Stephen A. Smith and what's the other one? Skip Bayless. But anyway, coming in, chiming in the good show, good stuff. This is definitely, I want to assume right here, this Thursday, talking about Thanksgiving, the 115 Thanksgiving game, Plainfield versus Westfield, 11 a.m. I know exactly.
This is Ray.
That's Ray Ray, the original, the OG Ray Ray. So go give him some love. 115th game. My God, that's a lot. Schefter has shifted from a legitimate journalist to someone who manipulates information to increase traffic. That is from Kyle Kerms. That is exactly, that is
well said.
Perfectly said about Adam Schefter and his sources. So anyway, let's get into this Cy Young thing, right? Robbie Ray.
Bro, I would slap the face off Adam Schefter, by the way. Just if he ever said a word to me, I would look at him and be like, get the fuck out of here.
Sources have said Chop Sports is going nowhere, Gooch. And then you just double A.
Who's your source? Jimmy Palumbo?
Perfect.
Or you can't reveal it.
Getting involved here. But anyway, so Robbie Ray wins the AL Cy Young. Well-deserved, you think? I mean, numbers-wise, yes, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know what? I saw the Toast make a post the other day.
That rhymes.
He was like, I begged anybody that would listen to bet Robbie Ray for the AL Cy Young, and I think he got it at like 30-1. Something pretty good. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe you said something about 30-1 earlier, and that's why I remember it.
30-1.
I'm sure the sauce will be able to tell us what that was. But the payout came. He said a payday coming soon, baby, because when they showed the updated odds last week, he was clearly the winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before he actually won, you know who's gonna win. And good shit. I didn't bet it. Because honestly, if I don't do fantasy baseball, I don't know anything outside of
So basically what you're announcing right now on the show is there will be a Chop Sports Fantasy Baseball League next spring.
Yes.
Has to be. Because I have to join it too, because there's too many players out there where I'm like, what? Like who? You know, and that's not good
We owe it to the people. Because if we sit here and we don't know what happened in Major League Baseball out west the next morning because we're not checking our lineups, then it's going to be an issue come baseball season. So
Kyle Kerms.
It's a requirement.
Listen, Toast was fading Robbie Ray early in the season, then changed his mind with the Cy Young prediction. So maybe he wasn't fully on Robbie Ray. I will also bring up, if you're going to bet on anything, bet for method. Schefter takes out Gooch in a triangle choke within 10 seconds. I know when the pick bish does her thing.
Bro, this has not been the first time that somebody said on Chop Sports that they were going to choke me out.
And somebody would choke me out anymore.
He's out of here, all right? I fucking did 10,000 push-ups that week, and I haven't done one since, I might add.
You really haven't.
I've actually picked it up a little bit last 2 weeks.
Actually, I've been slacking. I got to get back to the gym. But yeah, when the pick bitch wins her big parlays, it's usually like method. That's a good bet. I mean, maybe he gets your back by accident.
I'm going to start training for this hypothetical Adam Schefter fight now. Fucking got it. Hitting me.
Another one bites the dust. Oh, boy. So Corbin Burns wins the NL Cy Young. Shout out to Corbin Burns.
Case in point, this is the 100% the reason why we need to do a fantasy baseball league, because Corbin who? No, right. I know who he is to a degree, but I just had no idea that he was the best pitcher in the National League. And you know what?
This is the worst part. Go ahead. I know where you're going.
You know
with
who
this.
He beat out?
Yeah, this is
Zach
the worst
Wheeler.
Part.
So the Mets.
So basically, right now, if you want to make money right now, bet MGM, go on to chopsportsmedia.com, click on Jamie Foxx's face. You are going to put a futures bet that Noah Syndergaard wins the Cy Young next year for the Los Angeles Angels. Do it right now. The odds are probably really ridiculous. This is the time. The Mets seem to have lost another one. Zach Wheeler was the runner-up.
Yeah,
what?
I can't sit here and blame the Mets for this one, though.
Oh, you can blame the Mets for this one. That's another drop ball.
I think he led the league in home runs allowed the year they let him up. They let him go. So it wasn't like he was this guy. He was a back-end starter, possibly a third guy with the potential to fix things, and clearly he fixed things.
Corbin Burnes, the guy from Major League. That's Roger Dorn, and that was Corbin. I can't remember his last name. I met him when I worked with the Patriots. I met Roger Dorn. It was Roger Dorn night. He activated himself. Oh man. But anyway, so it looks like Scoop had him in his fantasy. He finished this is great. Had him on my fantasy team, and I finished 5-15. So clearly, he did well. The baseball awards, it gets better. Like, we know who's in the MVP race. Did you see, I told you about this article in Pre, that there was a bet made for $30,000. Somebody put $30,000 on Ohtani to win the AL MVP. At the time, it was 30-1. There's your 30-1 thing. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's going to cash in. If he wins, he's going to cash in on probably $1 million. Just by betting 30 G's.
Yeah, and there was like $7 million total in losses if Ohtani wins the MVP. Just for William Hill. But my heart does not bleed for the fucking casinos.
Well, my heart also doesn't bleed if you have the kind of FU money to throw 30 G's on an MVP race. Go screw. go scratch it.
When you hear these stories about, this guy made a $100,000 bet, he won this much money, it's like, to me, that's just not life-changing enough for me to care. If you're betting that much money and you win $1 million, it's like, big deal.
Do you understand? Like, it's funny you say that because, like, when DraftKings and FanDuel finally just started, right? You remember the commercials you were seeing? Like, I won $300. I won $40,000 in a weekend. I won blah, 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 blah.
Dave,
and
I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Right. But, not even that.
I get what you're saying.
It's so funny because on those commercials, when my dad and my brother first started to get into FanDuel and stuff like that, because once you're eliminated from season long, you're all over FanDuel for daily, right? I remember winning like $8 and thinking it was like life-changing shit because you go from like, holy shit, I'm in the money to dead last, you shouldn't have played. Any money is good money. When these guys are throwing around 30 G's just to gamble, it's like, get off it, whatever. Anyway, that is your Cy Young stuff. MVP stuff should be coming out within the next couple days. You would assume they're going to let this marinate a little bit. But anyway, one more conversation to be had last night as we watched the Knicks and the Nets won, the Knicks lost, whatever. I'll leave that up to Scoop and the Cross Court Cast. They're recording tonight, drops tomorrow. Those guys will cover the abysmal way the Knicks have been playing. How do you drop a game to freaking Orlando at home is beyond me.
They shot 138 threes.
Dude, can they go to the hole? I don't know.
I think that's
very frustrating, dude.
I think we're going to get to the reason why you hate Steph Curry.
Yes,
I
know we'll
that
get into
I
it.
Wouldn't say that you hate Steph Curry, but you're definitely not a fan.
I do hate Steph Curry.
How could you hate Steph Curry?
Because I'll tell you in a second.
Hating LeBron.
Yeah, well, fine. Right now, we want to have this conversation with all you NBA heads, and this is something that definitely can piggyback. If the Cross Court Cast wants to run with this, they can. Is Steph Curry the best player in the world right now? Gooch, you say yes,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah,
you think he's the best player in the NBA right now. The only reason why I disagree right now is because he's not an all-around player. And maybe that makes me old school, but I think like a guy like Kevin Durant is the best player in the world right now because he could do it all. He can post up. He can shoot the outside shot. He can drive the lane. Does he drive the lane as much as he should? Probably not. He's a little bit of a bitch. But I would say that's the overall all-around defense, too.
I think
he plays all. I don't even see Curry as a good defender.
I think when you're looking at certain things as a player, obviously when you look at Kevin Durant, he's tailor-made. You know, he could shoot the three, he could penetrate, he could do all those things, pause. Right? Kevin Durant ideally would be the guy, but the thing is, Steph Curry's doing what he's doing and they're winning games and he's getting guys involved. He's making stars on his team, whereas Kevin Durant, you look at...
So he's Tom Brady.
I mean, you could look... That's a very good point. Steph Curry is really good at basketball. Bro, he's on pace for 443 threes this year.
Is that a lot?
Well, the previous record is held by none other than Steph Curry at 402. So, yes, that's a lot. And honestly, they don't even have Klay back yet. He doesn't even have his full complement of players. It's like they're doing it with a, I wouldn't say a makeshift roster, but
I just
a big chunk of their salary is owed to Klay Thompson, and he's not playing, you know? I think Kevin Durant, we're talking about Kevin Durant. The one thing I'll agree with Stephen A. Smith is, like, Kevin Durant, you fucked up in a major way by leaving Golden State to go to Brooklyn because you trusted Kyrie. And Kyrie, for whatever reason,
he spun off the planet. We could
forget about this season. Let's talk about last year, the Kyrie.
Oh, you know, when he took off for his birthday.
Yeah, so there's reasons why I think KD realizes that he might have fucked up but won't admit it. But if KD was in Golden State right now, people would still hate him the same way. It's not like he shed that whole, I joined the forces with the team that beat me moniker because he went and joined up with the Nets. People still disrespect KD for that decision. So you should have just stayed there. Maybe taking even a little bit less money, or they would have paid him and maybe let somebody else go. Like KD, they're paying him, and they'll figure it out after that, even if it means losing Draymond. I honestly believe that. But right now, look at the record. They're blowing teams out. It's not like they're winning games. They're scoring 140 points a game.
Well, that's what happens when you have a guy that shoots the three ball like he does. And again, I will not knock that part of the game.
The thing is, it's like you could say, okay, Durant does it all. Curry doesn't even have to dribble and penetrate, even though he does well and often. He could pull up from the fucking half court line, and it's actually dangerous.
Don't you feel like that's... Is that... All right, so I'm going to make a comparison. Is that like what Curry can do right now from the half court stripe? You know, he can drain these threes. It's insanity, right? He could do whatever he wants with the ball from the perimeter. Is that like a comparison to like the... I don't know, the kickers in the NFL making 60-yarders like it's nothing anymore? Does it take the luster away when you can do it so many times and it's not so commonplace? Like, he goes out there, chucks it. I've watched Curry dribble and just chuck it without even looking.
Bro, to me, this is what I'm talking about. When you get a guy that's so good at something that it makes it, like, annoyingly boring, it's like when Anderson Silva was dominating at 185, middleweight in the UFC, it's like... It was impossible for another star to arise because he was just putting out anything that had any potential whatsoever. He was that much better. It wasn't that those guys weren't all so great. Take him out, it would have probably been a competitive division, and two or three of those guys would have been stars.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. With Steph, he's so good at what he does that the entire league is trying to emulate it, and nobody else can. Look at the Knicks. They're shooting 200 fucking threes a game. Why? Because that's basketball now. So I understand where you're coming from as to why you don't like the style, because it did. He was very influential in changing the way the game is played, but that's not his fault. He's still doing it the same way. And honestly, look what he did last year. Steph carried that team last year to a honestly, they didn't make the playoffs, but they had that playing game. Steph Curry, to me, I shouldn't say I don't think it's close, but as of this month, we're talking power rankings-wise, is Steph Curry the best player in the world today? Yes. I don't even think it's a debate.
Okay. Then I won't debate you because I'm not well-versed in scoop hit. Scoop hit it right in the head. Dave, you're mad. It's not 90s basketball anymore. Like, just this is the game. The game's evolved. The game has passed me by, Gooch.
And I'm going to bring up a couple comments here because I know that these guys do a little bit more of a deep dive in basketball analytics. Kyle, Steph is ranked 72 defensively in the NBA this year. First time he's been in the top half in the NBA of his career. He's stepping up on defense. I hate Steph, but it's impressive. There you go.
So he's playing defense.
He's playing defense. Finally. He's doing it all.
That's good.
And he's having fun, and it's exciting to watch. That's the beauty of it.
Well, I'll bring this up, before we wrap on this conversation. But, like, for instance, When the Dallas Cowboys got starched by the Broncos, right? There was a lot of rumors saying the Broncos, Vic Fangio, has the blueprint on how to stop the Dallas Cowboys. And then the Cowboys were like, hold my beer, and then put up 43 on the Falcons, right? Is this sustainable for a guy like Curry to do what he does? Like, when is it going to be time for people to just get up in his face and not let him take these threes? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like
it is sustainable. Watch the way he moves without the ball. It's not like he's just posting up behind the three-point line. Steph does not stop. And honestly, when you really think about it's sustainable because Klay Thompson is probably going to come back mid-December or early January, the latest. Yeah, when it gets even harder to stop that team and they have better spacing because Klay's the second-best shooter, arguably, of all time. Yeah, it's going to be sustainable. The Warriors are definitely legit. They're doing it without Wiseman and Clay right now. Wiseman was the second pick in the draft, I believe, last year. Maybe first. I don't even know.
And it's just crazy to think that Golden State had the second pick in the draft. Or first, whatever. Yeah. And they're like, oh, by the way, here's your new toy.
It was because Steph. Of the Steph injury.
Right.
And they were all banged
in the lottery.
Just Draymond Green running the show.
Right. Well, look, again, I can't sit here and argue it too much because I think you are more well-versed. You and AJ, when you guys were here, even when Production Pete was in the house, he was Mr. NBA well-versed. I am guilty of being an old-school NBA fan. What am I looking at? I'd still take the Joker, top 15
the
defense.
Joker.
The Joker.
That's a good, nobody, most overlooked guy in the NBA.
Joker?
Yeah.
And
by,
his family?
By the casual fan. Like, we didn't even think about him in terms of best player in the NBA, and he's got a strong case. He's
so
real
you
good.
Can't, so you're, it's not close is not a good, I know
it's
you didn't say
good.
That, yeah. But I'm just saying, like,
it, I did say
it
that.
Is close.
I said it's not even a debate or it's not close.
Oh, it's not,
but it
right,
is a
it's
debate.
Not a debate. All right. Well, it's a debate for another day. But yeah, so anyway, like, yes, I'm very guilty of being an old school fan. I am a 94, 93, 95 Knicks fan, even into 99, 2000 when Sprewell was going absolutely nuts and we got to the championship and then we dropped it to the Twin Towers. And like, it sucks. You know, the game has passed me by as far as like the style of play. I don't like the Euro step. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like these things. These things to me seem like, there was a time when I learned basketball. Watch my hand if you're watching the screen. There was a time where dribbling was this. Now it's this. Right? But when I was growing up, when you did that, it was a carry. You know what I mean? Like, those are gone now. Like, the way these guys dribble the ball is different. The whole game is different.
Bro,
it's basketball.
If you watch Michael Jordan dribble, there's no difference in seeing maybe a Harden would carry every single play. But honestly, they took a lot of the James Harden rules away. You can't lean in anymore. Look at Harden struggling this year.
They asked him about load management yesterday, by the way, because he played a lot of minutes.
When they mean load management, do you mean like how many fucking calories are you eating in a day?
Well, that, and he said
because
we won't discuss
fat,
it.
Fat.
Yeah, well, anyway. And you know what? Here's another part of the game that I just Jerry seemed to have watched Jerry West play. I'm not that old. I'm only 36 years old. But I will say that the game has evolved. The game is probably better than it was back in those days. I think it was a little harder back in those days as far as like Oakley would elbow you in the socket and you would have to just deal. But now you breathe on somebody wrong and it's a foul, maybe even flagrant. You know what I mean? So things are different.
The thing
players
is,
are softer.
It's not
they
even,
are.
Look, the NBA is softer.
That's what I'm saying. Players are softer.
It's not that the players are softer. It's like the rules are different. If the NBA, if they let them get away with the shit that they got away with then, they would still be doing it the same way. I guarantee you if you were allowed to fucking blast somebody with a forearm in the face, in the paint, and then not call anything, guys would do it. It's just the thing is, you're getting ejected now. The rules are different. If you look at somebody wrong, if you say anything crazy on the court, even in the direction of a ref, AD got ejected the other day because he was tying his shoe and complaining. And he wasn't even in the direction of the guy. He's just pissed off about something. Speaking of the Lakers, whoa, that's an abomination right now. But LeBron comes back tomorrow, I hope.
4-point shot is coming. He thinks the NBA is going to change the rules like they did for Wilt Chamberlain. Like, can you imagine? A 4-point shot? What would that be? Half court and beyond?
Maybe the logo?
Like the start of the logo? Like and make a nice little perimeter? You can't even do the perimeter. There's no, there's barely any room on the on
like
you,
maybe
baseline.
Just like, maybe just
sideline.
Like a spot on the court. It's not like a
right? Like it's a, like, what game was
like
that?
Where it's like, rock, like a little jock jam jock, or rock, right. Whatever they had back in the day where
he
you had
hits
to
a
hit.
10-pointer from deep. Yeah, definitely. But it could be. It could
I agree
be.
With that statement 100%.
This one? And then we just brought up and brought up. If the 90s NBA rules still existed, LeBron James would have 11 championships.
Because he could just play bully ball and he could do both.
Yeah, but he's a bitch, so he wouldn't do bully ball.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Any event, that is a good conversation that we had, and we knew it was going to spark a lot of debate either on the chat or between us. So, guys, if you're watching this stream right now and you're watching the show, tell your friends about it. Tell people about it. You want to hear it. You want to discuss. You want to debate. We are encouraging you to go on over to YouTube because a lot of these comments that are coming through, unless you gave permission to StreamYard, we really don't know who you are, and we want to give you guys credit and bring you on the screen and make you feel involved. Also, guys, I know this is going to sound crazy, but we have the capabilities, and we've had the capabilities to have guests. So if you really do have a passion topic that you want to talk about, we're going to, we'll drop you the link, and we'll bring you on. And then we'll see if you got what it takes to go head-to-head with Sturge and Gooch, because why the hell not? I think guests would be a great thing, especially when we're talking UFC and we could talk to the pick bitch. Well, she'll literally be down the, like, 4 feet away. But, like, you know, when an NBA and gamblers topics, all Kyle has to do is hit join, and he's in. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot of cool things. Why is that alarm going off? What's today? Thursday? No. Anyway, but in any event, yeah, join the show. So tell people about the show. Tell people to download, subscribe, everything. All the new shows drop today. Till Mets Do Us Part drop today. They get to celebrate a new GM. So finally, they get to do something baseball related rather than just bitch and whine about a bad season. Also, you have the the Packers Pulse coming out today eventually, right? That gets out there. Definitely check that out. All the other podcasts that have come out, be sure to watch or at least go onto the website, www.chopsportsmedia.com. There's a whole full slate of shows. Hey, we got something for everybody. There's MMA, there's basketball, there's football, there's just literally everything. There's comedy, Jimmy Palumbo getting involved with the network, Joe Matarese trying to get a new hoodie, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of guys that want to be involved in the network, or even Joe.
The hoodie, I'll do.
I know.
The flyer.
Maybe not. But I will say this. There is another show coming on board with us. Don't want to make the official announcement yet, but it's a great show for all you old school heads. There's a lot of vintage references for a new show coming on board. So for Sturch and Gooch across the table, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in Mattawan. We hope you guys enjoy the game tonight. Tomorrow, big day. It's Football Friday. We make our picks. I'm getting some revenge. I gotta do better than I did yesterday. So
when you say revenge, you mean on yourself for doing so
yes,
bad?
Because you're not gonna beat me. I'm detrimental to myself.
I feel good about this week.
I feel good about this week too. So see you guys then.
Also, I'll go 3-10 this week because I just said that.